Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Good morning, church, and welcome to episode one of a brand new series that's called Level Up. You're going to love it. I'd like to especially welcome all of you who maybe recommitted your life or made a first-time commitment to Christ last weekend for our big Easter celebration. What a weekend it was. And we're so excited for you and for this next level in your life that God is taking you to. As a matter of fact, I believe that Calvary has always been a next-level church. We exist to reach people that are far from God. And Calvary is really all about introducing people to Jesus, the only one who has the power to bring about that genuine life change that we all so desperately need. You know, we're a church that believes in people and practically coaches them along, providing the spiritual tools and the community to grow in their faith, to level up. And you know what? As a church, our vision is to see every member growing and contributing, either taking a next step or maybe even helping someone along to take a next step in their life as well. Which leads me to the title of today's message, which is What's Next? All of us need to know what's next in our lives. And no matter how far we've come or what we've accomplished, we haven't arrived. There's always another level. You know, the original arcade version of Pac-Man has 256 levels. Those of you that know Pac-Man, it's the cherry level, the strawberry, oranges, apples, melons, and on and on and on, right? Now, when this game first came out, people became addicted to playing the game. They desperately wanted to level up. People would literally play for hours trying to reach the end and beat the system, including this guy. Yeah, I loved the game. As a matter of fact, I still have the original Bally Midway version standing in my office, but it needs to be fixed, so I'll work on that. But you know what? When I was a kid, I once played that game for more than 3 hours straight in the Orlando International Airport as we waited for our family to catch a flight. And finally, the game started to scramble, and the guy that owned the arcade said, "I need you to step away from the game and leave the premises." And so there I was. Now, for you non-gamers, leveling up is the concept in gaming where your character experiences some sort of progression that usually involves unlocking new abilities and skills or getting new items. And then the gameplay, it increases in difficulty. Now, some of the best video games today still follow that same kind of leveling up concept of progression. Now, one of the most well-known accidental endings in a game is actually in Pac-Man on level 256, and it's called the split screen or the kill screen level. It's actually a glitch in the game's original programming that causes Pac-Man to kind of descend into chaos after a long 256 levels as the right side of the screen kind of gets jumbled with letters and numbers while the left side remains completely normal. And at that point, it's absolutely impossible to beat the game. You know, you and I have been created by God to level up, to grow, and to move into what's next. Get beyond the chaos and the jumble of the confusion in our lives. And as thankful as we are for where God has brought us to and what He's done in our life, we need to make sure that we don't keep looking back, but that we move ahead. Keep pressing on to what Christ has for us and what He has that's next in our lives. And you know what? As we continue moving forward, we also continue to grow. But if we stay put too long, if we stop pressing in on what's next, then we stop growing too. When we lose interest, when we lose hunger or our willingness to kind of pay the price, we simply end up losing out. We stop moving forward. We stagnate. And stagnation is the enemy of growth in our lives. You know, in the second letter to the churches in Asia Minor, Peter challenges the church to keep taking those important next steps in their devotion to God, to continue to grow in their lives. You know what? We see that challenge very clearly represented in his final words in his letter to the church, to remain on guard, to be guarding against false teaching and false leaders in the day. 2 Peter 3:18 says, rather you must grow in or level up or take the next step in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as followers of Christ, we are a work in progress. Leighton Ford once said that God loves us the way that we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. That's so true. You know, and it's been a great honor for me over the years to lead and to be a part of a community of faith like we have here at Calvary that is so committed to what's next for our church and what's next for our lives. A church whose mission is to love God and to love people while leading them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. You see, the church that we see is alive, it's growing, it's constantly changing. The church we see is filled with wonder about the next big challenge or prompting or leading that God has for us. The church we see is always leveling up while still being content with the peace that we have for where we are right now on the journey. I think we've all had moments where we feel like we're going through the motions. Maybe we're hitting the same obstacle over and over. And after a while, that becomes mentally exhausting. But I want you to know that in Christ, you can experience a better life. You can experience a better you, a new level in Christ. Sometimes you need to come, I think, to the end of one thing in order to start something new, to change the game, to level up. And when we finally come to the end of ourselves, to the end of our limited ability to cope and to grow and to succeed, it's only when we recognize our need for a Savior that we can turn to him and that we can know him in a very personal way. A decision that many of you made over the Easter weekend, last weekend, which is wonderful. You know, when our lives become aligned on his track for growth, we can progress to what's coming next, moving and growing into a spirit-empowered life, experiencing baptism by dying to that old version of ourselves and coming up new, and developing a new devotion to him through prayer, through talking to him, and reading the Word of God, and then becoming a part of a small group, living and serving in community. All these things strengthen our faith, moving from one level of growth to the next. And as a church, we understand that in all that he's called us to do next, that he's still the master builder. It's not us. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Listen, even though we have a very important role to play in our story, we're still not the author of that story. And although we don't always know what's coming next, and that's probably for our good, he always does. And so knowing that he's building our church, knowing that he's building our lives and our families is really cause, in my mind, for great assurance, and not for fear. What's next can often be a question that people ask when we're feeling like, I can't take it anymore, or we're feeling fed up with everything that we're coming up against. We're dealing with pandemics and murder hornets and earthquakes and volcanoes. What's next? I remember last year seeing a video online that somebody posted of this huge eagle that swooped down into the ocean and picked up a small shark in its talons and then flew it around the beach while unsuspecting tourists were walking down below. Can you imagine looking up and seeing a shark with his mouth open just above your head? It would be absolutely bizarre. The guy that posted it, he said, a runaway virus and murder hornets wasn't enough in 2020. Now we have to worry about flying sharks. What's next? You see, for many people, that's how they feel about what's next. But today, I want your what's next to be filled with faith and possibility, not fear. And certainly not flying sharks, right? That would be good. You know, what's next in Christ can be the greatest years of your life, can be the greatest years of your family or even of our church. The truth is, we experience victory when we reach that next level. Whether it's on a real battlefield or a virtual one in a game we're playing, something about that each of us have been designed and created to level up. And experiencing a win from time to time fuels that divine purpose within us. God is glorified, I believe, when we reach the next level. We need to allow God to make our stumbling blocks turn into our stepping stones. It's all about that next level. And when we experience lasting growth, it's because we reached it. We experienced something that God has brought us through, and that builds on the next thing. So we need to stretch ourselves. We need to grow in order to stay healthy. You know, your education doesn't end at grade 12 or at the end of college or university. We keep learning. Anything that's alive and healthy continues to grow. You may need to read more to reach what's next. You may need to eat less and exercise to reach what's next. You may need to pray more and to worry less to reach what's next in your life. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3 says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has shown for one another is increasing." It's next level growth. You see, a better life starts with a commitment to what's next, and there's always something following it. Now, again, it's critical that we don't live in the past, but that we learn from the past. Those are two very different things. You see, living in the past becomes an obstacle to the now, but learning from the past can strengthen our path to what's next. And the most effective way, I think, to learn from the past is to see the hand of the master builder in our lives through everything we experience. That's really the anointed genius of Scripture. We see that. Stories of what's next were being told and retold so that the next generation could level up and they could move forward in the ordered steps of God. You know, you and I, we must never forget that He's done great things in our lives, and He's used those things to lead and guide us to the point that we're in. You know what? Today, I stand where I am because of the faithful men and women who've gone before me, who've invested into my life, people that I still honor, my parents, my pastors. As a church, we're blessed with the rich spiritual legacy of faithful and great leaders like the Schroeders and the McDonalds. See, these are men and women who were committed to what's next every step of the way. They understood sacrifice. They knew what living for that next moment was all about. But now you and I have the opportunity to do the same for the next generation. May God help us to never settle as a church, to never forget who we are and where we've come from, to always embrace what's next. You know, as we tell the stories of what God has done in our lives and in our church, we will never forget what He's done, nor will those that come after us. The Bible is actually filled with never forget scriptures to help us on our path to spiritual growth. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live." Listen, teach them. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. The Bible's saying here that we need to keep passing those stories along. Let me give you a few things that we should never forget as a church when we consider what's next. And the first one is so important. We're not the source, He is. You see, it's not about our greatness. It's about the greatness of our God. This church, Calvary Church, was birthed out of a place of prayer, trusting in His provision, not our own human ingenuity. God fills us with vision the vision that we need for our lives and for our church, when we spend time recognizing that He is the source. Countless faithful prayers have brought us to where we are today and will continue to take us to where He's called us to go next. We serve a great God, and He did all of this. He made a way where there wasn't a way, and He's still providing for us today. That's why we start every year with 21 days of prayer, to continue making prayer an important and crucial part of our lives. Listen, prayer should never, ever be a weak last resort, but a first response. Why? Because He is our source. Everything we need is in Him. That's why we make studying the Word such an important part of our week. That's where we draw that new life from. It's the well that we pull from. So press in, read, pray, love. Skip the eat part and just read, pray, and love. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12 says, when you take it all in and settle down pleased and content, when you look at where God has brought you, what He's brought you through, when you look at what He's given you, when He's given you freedom and how He's provided for you, how He's healed you, the scripture goes on to say, make sure you do not forget how you got there. God brought you out of slavery in Egypt. He brought you out of darkness into the light. Don't forget. So let's continually seek God's presence over our own human efforts. Let's keep seeking the source. We need Him, desperately need that source in our life. The second thing we should never forget is we take next steps spiritually and help other people do the same. You see, we're a next steps church, as I've said before. It's not about an hour on a Sunday morning. So much growth takes place as we interact with our community throughout the week. We believe that God has great things for your life and that He wants you to wholeheartedly embrace what's next. He's not done with you yet. He has so much more planned. So listen, Calvary, never settle. God didn't create you to settle. It's not just about going to heaven, but that your life right now, in the here and now, can be changed and transformed into His image. You know, there's really only two types of people here at our church. You're either taking next steps or you're helping others take those same next steps. You know, there's nothing more exciting in my mind than life change. That's the heart of God. On Easter Sunday, Pastor Mary came up to me, was excitedly telling me of how three people in their new Starting Point class gave their hearts to the Lord for the first time. They were taking those next steps. Pastor Vince was also excitedly telling me about how those taking next steps in Alpha and Freedom Session were seeing their lives continue to change. There's nothing more exciting than that kind of life change. And He wants to do the same for you today. He wants you to know that there's more. 1 Peter 1:17 says, you call out to God for help and He helps. He's a good father that way. I love that. How amazing is that? You can just stop there just to recognize the power of that truth. But listen, again it says, but don't forget, He's also a responsible father and He won't let you get by with sloppy living. I love the way that the message puts it. Don't settle for sloppy living. There's so much more for your life. Your life is a journey of next steps in Him. And that's what we celebrate here, helping people move from where they were to where God wants them to be. And we want you to know that God wants you to have a personal relationship. But it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And that continues to grow. It's about knowing Him, that you can find freedom, that you can discover your purpose. And I understand it takes time. It takes time to prayerfully walk through your issues in a community. But it's also in a community, and we'll be talking more about that next week, that we discover our purpose as we serve other people as a team, working together. You know, right now we're working on a brand new Next Steps class that I would encourage all of you to take if you're seeking God to discover that purpose in your life. The two greatest days in your life were the day you were born and the day you discovered why you were born. You have a purpose. We're all called by God to make a difference. And the best place to start, in my mind, after you give your heart to the Lord and begin coming to church on Sunday, is getting involved in a Calvary small group. Pray together, serve together, pray, you know, read God's word together. We're so much better together. And then finally, number three, we don't go to church. We are the church. We're not a private club for members only. There's always room at our table for more. And that's you. The church doesn't exist just for us. We exist for the world. That's why, pandemic or not, we are the church, whether we're standing in the same room or not, and we will stand strong. And because of you, because of your faithfulness and your giving as a church, we've been able to continue to minister through difficult times, ministering to our own Calvary members, to their families, to our students and our children, to partner with the City Dream Center to help support needy families in our public schools. We're doing that because we are a church standing together. Our teams continue to prep and serve meals every month to our street friends with night shift ministries. Powerful ministry is happening. And because of your generosity, it also allows us to continue supporting our own Calvary career missionaries, Bob and Carol Cave, as we partner with World Missions Ministries to help plant and support new churches in Ukraine and Israel, to help establish drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. We are the church, seeing lives transformed. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "You are Christ's body." That's who you are. You must never, ever forget this. Only as you accept your part of the body does your part mean anything. You have an important part to play. The church is not here just to meet your needs. That's a part of it, but not most of it, because then that's just spiritual consumerism. We're called to contribute spiritually, not to just consume. Listen, we are called to make a difference and to embrace what's next in our lives and in our church. So would you join me? Would you stand with me today as we step and lean into what God has for us next? He didn't just start this to stop it. He will see it through to its completion. And so I want to pray for all of you today that you would actively be a part of what's next in your personal life and in the life of this church. And continue to pray. Continue to find yourself in the Word as we gather on Sunday, as we gather as small groups. Let's stay strong, church. Let's not fear what's next, but let's embrace it with faith, with passion, with great expectation. And today, if you don't know Christ, you can. You know, at the end of every service, I love to create opportunities where we're broadcasting all around the world, where people are gathering here on site. I want to give people, always give them an opportunity to know Him. So we're going to pray for you too, if that's you. So Calvary, let's pray together as we close our service today. Father, I thank you for all that you've called us to next. I thank you for the progression of growth in our lives and in our people. I pray for those today that are struggling, that may have faced obstacles and keep facing obstacles and find themselves going through the motions. Today, I pray that would come to an end, and that they would begin something new. And that, Lord, those that don't know you, that they could know you today. And if that's you, just pray this simple prayer with me and say, "Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner, that I've fallen short. But I also recognize that you died on a cross and you've forgiven me of my sin. You've given me a fresh start. Come into my heart, be the Lord and Savior of my life. And help me to share this good news, this message of hope, to everyone I come in contact with." Now, Father, I pray for Calvary Church. I pray that we would continue to be a next steps church, that we would continue to take a next step, that we would continue to take people along with us to take a next step as we grow closer to you, as we reflect your image in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. I love you, Calvary. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to you joining us again next week for Calvary Church Online and for our services here at the church.